Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
So, and some of you are probably thinking, Adam Sandler, is he still going? According to Forbes, Adam Sandler was actually the highest paid entertainer in Hollywood last year. So digest that. So Dave Hanratty of the No Encore podcast joins me now to unpick this mystery. Welcome back, Dave.
Thank you for having me.
So for a guy who looked like he kind of wandered in off the street onto the movie set, Adam Sandler is having like a long and a really varied and successful career, isn't he?
Yeah, it's something of a comeback story because I think around the late 2000s, early 10s, it began to wane a bit. Certainly critically, everyone was a bit fed up of him. The movies were still making a bit of money, but there definitely was a sense of like, this might be over now. And somehow, some way, he's managed to kind of reforge himself in his own image. Because as you say there, you know, wandering in off the street, I was watching The Love You, the stand-up documentary, or stand-up performance rather I should say, the other day on Netflix. I'm like, he looks like he got dressed in the dark in that thing. He's wearing this oversized hoodie, oversized tracksuit bottom pants,
a borrowed hoodie actually.
It's incredible. I mean, like talk about not making an effort. But not making an effort has been both kind of the thing to kind of throw at him from a critical perspective, but also has endeared him massively, not just to the American public but the international public. They see this guy as an everyman. They see him as a relatable person, and you can't underestimate the power of relatability. He looks like the kind of person that if you bumped into him on the street and said, do you want to get a pint?
Yeah.
He'd probably go with you.
Totally, yeah. And you'd love to have a point with him as well.
Definitely, yeah.
People might be surprised he was Hollywood's highest earner last year.
He's a very smart businessman, that's the thing. Despite the persona and despite the fact that he might seem like he's a bit lackadaisical, he's actually really, really smart. And he has his own production company, Happy Madison, which one half does take its name from, of course, the aforementioned stoner comedy classic, Happy Gilmore, and Billy Madison being another film he made. So he's been kind of marching to the beat of his own production drum for quite some time. And he signed a massive deal with Netflix a few years ago, which also gives him quite a lot of creative control, and that's where this current stand-up special lives as well, and the forthcoming movies as in previous movies as well. But yeah, if you look up his net worth right now, it's anywhere between $400 and $450 million. So yeah, he's doing very well, Brendan.
And kind of all churning out nowadays this warm, reasonably undemanding, watchable stuff. It's a bit, some of the comedy special, a bit surreal and a bit edgy, and then but it's all kind of easy, isn't it? Which Netflix, I guess, that's what they want, easy, watchable kind of stuff.
Not challenging,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, because like the Cognoscenti would be snobby about his brand of comedy.
Hugely, yeah. Unsophisticated, I think, would be a term that would be bandied around.
Yeah, but but he knows what he's doing with these kind of like simple, dumb films. Like Happy Gilmore, explain that phenomenon, because it wasn't a hit at the time, really, was it?
It did okay. It was kind of more of one of those VHS things. If you liken it to, say, a much more sophisticated film, The Shawshank Redemption, which kind of found its life on VHS.
Okay.
Happy Gilmore was similar for an awful lot of people, myself very much included. Now, I wasn't a stoner at the age of 12, I'll tell you that right now, but I did have the video copy of this, and I must have worn that thing into the ground. I watched this film over and over and over again. It's 90 minutes. He plays this, you know, anarchic golfer who has superpowers, essentially, and finds himself in a tournament against a great villain played by Christopher McDonald, playing the villainous Shooter McGavin. And it's just like, yeah, as you say, like it is kind of dumb, physical comedy, not too dissimilar to what Jim Carrey was doing around the time. And for whatever reason, the magic was there. Now, of course, in a pre-social media era, it kind of went viral. It developed a cult following. And we're seeing the echoes of that now in a social media era, because he has been asked about that for years. Other actors in the film have been asked about it for years. Are we ever going to get a sequel? And in fact, as you said, we are getting a sequel. It's finally happening.
Okay, but it's kind of due to public demand and people DMing him, basically. Like, there's an element of... And I don't say this with any insult to either of them. There's an element of a Brendan O'Carroll kind of to him as well, isn't it? Like when you're saying about his own production company, he kind of has a bunch of buddies and his family are in on it now. And he seems to just like, he goes off and makes these things with people he likes, enjoys working with, and they do their own thing, yeah?
Oh yeah, it's college industry for sure. He has his own entourage. And like, I think another reason people like him is because they think he's loyal. They think that he's loyal to his friends. Some of whom are stars in their own right, the likes of Chris Rock, Kevin James, David Spade. But other guys, he'll see kind of populate his films in smaller roles. They'll turn up again and again. In fact, one of them was actually on the stand-up special. He was kind of holding his microphone at one stage for him. So people see that and they say, like, that's a nice guy right there. That's a guy who hasn't forgot where he's come from, hasn't forgot his buddies. Now, you could also be a bit cynical and say, well, these films just appear to be an excuse to go to Hawaii with your mates and have a holiday. And also as well, in his films, he's often playing like an ad executive or something, which enables him to throw lots of product placement around as part of the plot and get much more
really
money. Oh yeah. So like, shrewd operator or shameless cynic, it's up for you to decide.
Yeah. And then there's this other kind of really odd side to him as well, of this serious actor, and he works with all the serious directors, Paul Thomas Anderson, Noah Baumbach, and in quite intense, arty films sometimes.
Yeah, and of course, Uncut Gems with the Safdie brothers, for which, if you ask me, he was robbed of an Oscar nomination. I mean, he could have even potentially have won it, but I do think his comedy background cost him there. Well, the thing about Sandler is, I think people have identified in him, the likes of Paul Thomas Anderson, they've identified that he has the ability to kind of carry a lot of anger under the surface. There's a self-loathing quality to him, a glass half empty. It is a contradiction because, again, he can be the rubber-faced smiley guy. But he has this coiled spring nature to him, and that's what comes across in these dramatic roles. And in fairness, he's brilliant in them. And I have a quote from Josh Safdie, who's one of the directors of Uncut Gems, and he was saying that we needed a character who you loved, who had this patriarchal quality, who was lovable and could be grounded in absurd scenarios. And from the very beginning, we knew it was Adam Sandler. But they chased him. They basically professionally stalked him for about a decade until they finally got their man. And he is fantastic in that film, in a much different role than what a lot of people would be used to.
And it was actually, it's one of the Safdies then directed this stand-up special. And like we were saying earlier, it's actually, I think it's been getting reasonably good reviews, hasn't it? Because as much as he defaults now and again to kind of, you know, not laddish, but, you know, basic humour, there's actually quite a surreal kind of arty quality to some of it, isn't there?
Oh yeah, he's doing these experimental songs that involve the audience kind of howling at him like wolves at one point in the special as well. And it's very ramshackle, like things go wrong, like a dog runs on the stage, the keyboard breaks.
And we don't
down.
Know if that's real, if that's really going wrong or what it is.
That's
but, yeah.
the genius of it though, isn't it? Because you're like, well, I feel like I'm at this kind of strange event. And he can pull it off though, because he has this warmth to the room. And again, if I can just give another quote from Josh Safdie, who, like I say, I said he was professionally stalking him, which involved going to the Cannes Film Festival and seeing him, you know, from the balcony, and he was like, I'm never going to get closer to this guy, I'm never going to get him to make my movie. And he said that on the red carpet, Josh Safdie said about Adam Sandler that they don't let you walk up the stairs without anyone except for designated people. They're designated people at the festival. But Adam Sandler walked up, did his bow, ran down to grab his wife and walked her up the stairs. That says a lot about why he's such a lovable person. He can do these really dirty jokes about his wife and family, but he ultimately is a grounded person who wants the best for everybody. And I think that is true. He has that warmth to him, which people are drawn to, definitely.
It's an amazing brand, actually, isn't it? Yeah, and you've clearly bought it hook, line and sinker. And the other thing, just to mention, that people will be amazed by, is that he's an incredible Spanish guitar player. He takes out a Spanish guitar at one point in the thing and does actually really creditable Spanish guitar. You would have thought he's the kind of guy who would have, at this stage, been cancelled. Some of the earlier work probably was a bit problematic. He's not around giving out about the woke generation or any of that kind of stuff. He seems to have managed to sail past a lot of that as well, has he?
Yeah, and I hope that it stays that way. I don't want him to have a Netflix special called, you know, hashtag triggered in about 3 years' time. I want it to stay in this kind of vein. One of his friends, Rob Schneider, unfortunately has gone that way, and he is still friends with that guy. He actually appears during the special, but Sandler,
that's the guy who does the Elvis impersonator.
Yes, yeah. And in fairness, it's a good impersonation, but you're also kind of like, ah, damn, I kind of wish he wasn't there. My own personal take on the man, but, you know, always very, very lesser as a comedian as well. Sandler, however, has done very well to not court controversy throughout his career. Now, I mean, like, what are his politics? They may well be more red state than we want to admit, but he's been quiet about it. He is a family man. He cares for his kids. He doesn't make grandiose statements about the world. And now, whether that's just him being him or whether it's being very clever to massage the media is another question, because, you know, he just is a guy who's managed to kind of remain himself at all times. Okay. He's never bought into a celebrity persona. He doesn't try as hard as that. And I think that has paid off for him in spades.
Okay, so back to our question of how is he the highest paid guy in Hollywood last year, because listening to you, he's the smartest guy in Hollywood. He's an old-fashioned kind of star in a way, isn't he? Even back to the stand-up special, he's like an old-fashioned Jewish Hollywood comedian and a bit of vaudeville, and he can play an instrument and stuff like that. There's something of the golden age about
like
him,
like a song
there?
And dance man from the 20s, where he had to be a triple threat. Yeah, I guess that does work. And you're right about the guitar playing. It kind of hit me for six, because when I first, I wasn't looking at the screen when it started playing, and I assumed there was going to be like some guy next to him. But no, it's him. He's doing his thing. A multi-talent, you could say. And again, there's hidden depths here, and I do find myself wondering how the career could have been different in certain ways. Yeah, you know the film Collateral with Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx? The script was originally written for Adam Sandler to play the Jamie Foxx role, and apparently he couldn't do it because of scheduling conflicts. Quentin Tarantino wanted him as one of his Inglourious Bastards and couldn't get him because he was doing something else. And you're like, what an alternative universe that would be, because when he does step out of his comfort zone.
Yeah.
He's kind of the reverse Tom Cruise. You know, like, he'll do all his blockbusters now, he'll never do a dramatic role again. But when these guys actually do it and show you something a bit more vulnerable, it kind of works. But I guess he doesn't have to try. And people love that. They love the nostalgia. They love the baked-in kind of appeal of him. They love the fact that they think he's their friend. And it has worked for so long to the point that, yeah, the reason we're talking about that is it is kind of inexplicable. But in a weird, strange way, it makes perfect sense.
Okay, there you go. Rock on, Adam Sandler. The bizarre story of one of the biggest stars in Hollywood, Dave Hanratty. Thank you very much. We'll take a break.